Okay, good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Merry Christmas to you all. Christmas time, on a physical, commercial level, is mind-blowing. Okay, we'll get to Jesus in a bit, right? But Christmas, to most people, is mind-blowing. According to the Bank of England, and I quote, a typical household in the UK spends over £2,000 each month. But in the run-up to Christmas, our spending habits change dramatically. To begin with, we buy a lot more. A typical household spends over £500 extra in December. The increase in our spending reveals a lot about what we get up to around Christmas. It won't come as a surprise to learn that we spend a lot more on going out, eating food, and drinking alcohol. We also, of course, spend money buying gifts for our family and friends. According to The Guardian, people are expected to have spent £4.2 billion over the last week just on food and drink. £4.2 billion in an age of austerity. I was in Tesco's a couple of times during the last couple of weeks, and as I'm sure you've all noticed, the trolleys are testimony to this. People with trolleys stacked up high, mostly on junk food and alcohol. As a family, we decided that we were not going to have turkey, a turkey dinner for Christmas, so we opted for lamb. Jesus, after all, was the Lamb of God. And guess what? Because nobody's buying it, it's all half price. Result.
That had nothing to do with it.
Hang on. George Clary. Honey. Okay. So like I said, Christmas time to a lot of people is a time of excess. Many families can't afford the extra, so it all goes on the credit cards. And they're left then with months and months of hardship as a result. To me, the reality of most people's Christmas sounds more like a nightmare than a time of joy. But hey-ho, people eat, drink, and are merry, and then they worry about it later. The statistics about Christmas are incredible. On a commercial, physical level, and many gifts are exchanged. People get together, they have fun. They may go to see a nativity play if you're lucky. If people have got kids. But the story of Jesus just washes over them. To many people, Christmas stops at the gifts. So, okay, hands up there. Who likes having gifts? Oh, hang on. Is that pretty much everybody? Okay, apart from Dorothy, everybody likes having a gift. We have.
If anybody's got a gift, yes, lovely.
It doesn't worry you. Well, that's a good attitude. Good. Okay, we've got all the Secret Santa stuff here, which will probably upset everybody on the video on the recording, but never mind. Who cares? We've got a Secret Santa here today, and I'm sure that when we open those gifts, we will appreciate the thought that has gone into the gifts. And the thought that goes in, what is it? Is it the gift itself, or is it the thought and the caring and that attitude of blessing that we have for one another? That's wonderful. Okay, if you could choose any gift in the world, apart from Dorothy, what would it be? And I'll repeat it for the recording. Peter.
I choose, it's an unusual gift, but I choose an Everton football shirt from about 3 years ago.
There we are, an Everton football shirt from...
Your one's a small one, aren't they?
Not a Cardiff City one?
No, that's quite surprising. No Cardiff City, Everton. Yeah, Clara.
It'd be a real-life living Pokemon.
Real-life living Pokemon. Now, that's unusual. Okay, come on. This is interactive today, by the way. So, okay, well, if you could choose any gift in the world, what would it be? On a physical level, this is
peace.
Peace. That's a good one.
Peace.
Yeah. You go like a Bugatti.
Wait. Oh, a Bugatti. Yeah.
As long as somebody else pays for the insurance.
So a Bugatti plus insurance. Okay, that's good. Okay, oh yeah, a jetpack and mechanical wings for us.
Freedom from illness.
That's a good one. Freedom from illness.
I know we're supposed to be choosing physical gifts.
Okay, physical gifts then.
A bit of land and a horse to ride over it.
Fantastic. A bit of land and a horse to ride over it.
You've got that, it's called Wales, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay, anybody else? What if you could choose any gift at all? Okay. Next question. Fixing a roof. Okay. Okay, then what roughly would that ideal gift cost? That's why I'm asking for physical gifts. Peace and health.
I have no idea. It would probably cost a lot of money.
A jetpack would cost a lot of money. Yes, you'll have to go and talk to NASA about that, I think. Half a million quid for a Bugatti, okay, yeah, and it's probably about half a million quid for the insurance as well. Okay, how much would it cost then, Clara, for a real life Pokemon?
Probably 10 years of my pocket money.
10 years of pocket money.
To scientists. To try and make a Pokemon.
Well,
technically speaking, if Pokemon
was
real, all you need to pay for is
a
Pokeball, so.
Yeah. Okay, you can just come forward, because they're not
going to
be hearing it. Okay,
What would you pick?
What I pick? Right. Being a Formula One fan and liking the red cars, I would have myself a Ferrari. And he's probably talking at least £250,000 for a decent one.
No.
Yeah. So, like I said, on a physical level. Okay. So, I think we get the gist here that sort of, people would a piece of land with a horse, they're quite expensive as well, yeah?
I would say Mercedes are faster than Ferraris,
aren't they? They are. Mercedes faster than Ferraris. Yeah, so on a physical level, our ideal gifts would cost a lot of money, wouldn't they? And if we ever sort of had like a lottery win or something like that, not that we particularly go much into that, we could probably sort of blow that quite easily on things. Okay. See, this is a bit of the madness we get into next. Not so much with phones, but... Okay. So, on a physical level, we see people spend lots of money on Christmas. And a lot of the ideal gifts that people have would cost a lot of money. But what do you think the greatest gift we could possibly have is?
Everlasting life.
Everlasting life. Eternal life. And that's how... this was what the Bible describes. Oh, sorry, Sir Clara.
If we're Christians, we have eternal life naturally from God.
We have eternal... Yeah. Guess what? Yeah, and guess what? That is the greatest gift that we could possibly imagine.
As long as you're in the right place.
All right, I'll repeat that thing. As long as you're in the right place. Yeah, you don't want to be in the lower ground floor. We'd like to be in the penthouse. Okay. The Bible calls it a new life in Christ. Right? Eternal life. The kingdom. Heaven, however you want to put it. And how much do you think that cost? Ooh.
Nothing. Jesus.
The life of our Saviour Jesus Christ.
It's free.
It's free. It's like the NHS, free at the point of contact. But new life cost Jesus his life. So when you think about it, what we have, the most ideal gift possibly we could even imagine is free to us. But it cost Jesus. How much do you think the Son of God is worth?
Priceless.
Nothing!
Oh, no, it's not nothing, it's everything. Jesus.
It costs nothing.
It costs nothing to us.
It's free.
Yeah.
That's all your pocket money.
That's what I was trying to say.
Okay, so what we have is we've got a gift. We have a gift that the value of that gift is infinite. The value is everything, but it costs us nothing.
Yay!
Think about this. Colossians 1, verses 15 to 17. This is a description of Jesus. Colossians 1, verses 15 to 17. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Now that's a wonderful encapsulation of Jesus, right? He's the creator, right? The sustainer. Everything is Jesus. But he gave up his position in heaven, in the throne room of God, and he became one of us. He was born as a little bitty baby. He lived and he died for you and me. Isn't that an amazing thought? We can think of, you know, you can't put a value on Jesus, right? It's not like, I'm sure we've all got life insurance and all that. If we died, we would be worth a figure, right? And the mortgage company insists on that because they want their money back, don't they? But we can put a value on life in a certain extent. But how can you put a value on Jesus? We can't put a value on Jesus' life. It's infinite in our terms. No amount of money here on earth could pay for salvation. But here's the good news. The greatest must-have gift of Christmas, the one we literally cannot live without, is absolutely free. Now, isn't that a great thought? There's nothing we can do to earn it or pay for it. Salvation is a gift through God's love and grace. Let's have a look at a few scriptures. And I'm sure you can probably, you know where I'm going here. John 3, 16 to 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish and have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God gave his Son. Gave. It's a gift. Jesus didn't come here by accident. Jesus, we're celebrating, was a gift of God. But he didn't come to condemn, but to save. Salvation, what a gift. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. But guess what? The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Again, we deserve death. But the gift of God is life. Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 9. For it's by grace we have been saved, through faith. It's not of ourselves, it's a gift of God. Not by works, so no one can boast. Jesus was more than a baby. He was a gift from God. Jesus lived and died and rose again in an act of love from God to us. God's love is mind-blowing. Because it's not dependent on us. Okay, apart from Hugh, how many of us in here are perfect? I knew you'd...
Okay. I was going to say, you see, when you talk to the man in the street about this gift that's free, he can't believe it because nothing in his world is absolutely free.
No.
Therefore, he can't exist. This is the difficulty you've got to get over to these, you know, to talking to the unbelievers.
Love is free.
Love is free.
Love someone who,
George is free.
Yeah, well, air is free and love is free.
That's
yeah.
That's an example, actually, George. Yeah, well done.
Thanks, as they said, alcohol, water is free as well.
Yeah, but it costs a lot to actually produce that water.
Well, now, if you're talking to my friend Judy, she says, well, why have I got to pay water rates when the water falls from the sky and through?
Yeah. For the recording, yeah, we're saying that air is free and water is free. Well, water from the sky is free, but a lot of money goes into actually making what we drink.
Mm.
Okay, Clara?
Happiness is free.
Happiness is free. Okay.
Hey, I like that one.
Happiness is free. Okay.
But what people buy to get happiness isn't.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're basically taking happiness from tomorrow.
Well, when you come to credit cards, it is, yes. Okay, so
the
point I was making. Okay, George? Well, that's an interesting point, though, isn't it? Because then people are sort of, you know, the debt and all the rest of it. You're taking away from happiness from tomorrow. That's an interesting way of looking at that. Okay, so apart from Hugh, as I said, none of us are perfect. And I think Hugh perhaps might not be as well. Nobody. But the good news is that God loves us despite ourselves, not because of how good we are. Romans 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we're still sinners, Christ died for us. And that's, and again, it's like when you think of Jesus, when you think of his birth and what happened in his life, there's all these like mind-blowing truths, right? And it just seems too good to be true, doesn't it? But that's reality. In the conference the other day, Alan Torrance explained it theologically with lots of big words and diagrams. And if you're interested, it's on YouTube via the gci.org website. But put in terms that us normal folks can understand, God's love was so great, he sent his son to rescue us. Before Jesus, there was a separation between God and humanity. And there was lots of sacrifices and the temple system and everything was there to cover over the sin. And as I said, the wages of sin is death. That's the covenant that we were in. What happened at Jesus' birth, or more accurately at his conception, was that that separation has gone. And God became one of us. It's mind-blowing to think that the great creator, we just read in Colossians 1, the great creator who holds everything together became flesh. He became one of us. Let's read John 1, 1 to 5, then 14 onwards. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Hold that thought for the light shining in the darkness. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. As we celebrate at Christmas, God dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 15, John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, this is the one I spoke about when I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me. Again, lots of mind-blowing sort of things. How can he be before him and after him and stuff? Jesus is outside of time. Verse 16, out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And the next verse, again, is incredible. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. Think about it. We can know God only because he's been revealed in Jesus. He's more than a little bitty baby. Jesus revealed God. He revealed the heart of God to mankind. Isn't that amazing? Okay, in single words, right? George? Single words. How can we describe the heart of Jesus? How can we know God through Jesus? Through knowing Jesus? How can we describe God from what we know of Jesus? Clara.
Our Saviour and our Father who helps us and she was really, 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 really nice.
That would pick up the recording? Yes. God is really, 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 really right. Yes. Okay, anybody else? Go on, otherwise it'll be over in 2 minutes. No.
God is love.
In love, yes. God is love. Is that all we know about Jesus? He's love and really, really, really nice. Peter.
He understands our humanity.
He understands Christ,
you know,
understands
our
humanity.
He's limited to human beings, so he knows God understands.
God understands. Absolutely, absolutely.
He cares.
Absolutely, yeah.
He gives us peace that passes understanding.
The peace that passes understanding. Yeah, absolutely. Anybody else?
The Holy Spirit, isn't it, that makes us realize that Christ represents God fully.
Yeah. Holy Spirit shows us Christ's representative. Yeah.
When he was on earth, he experienced everything, so he knows how we feel about things. Mm. Temptation.
Absolutely. Again, I'm repeating for the recording. Yeah, he experienced everything, so he knows how we feel. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that is the only way, you know, we can, well, before Jesus, as I said, there was a separation between God and humanity. After Jesus, he became one of us, and he reveals the heart of God. He reveals himself through his Son, through Jesus. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, and his Spirit is here right now, dwelling in and among us. So my Christmas challenge for you all is to get to know him. Talk to him, study him, experience him. His love is not just for us, but for everyone. Look around and you'll see what Jesus is doing in the city or wherever we live. In terms of John 1, the darkness has not overcome him. It's like a dot-to-dot puzzle, and I've said this before and I'll say it again. We individually and collectively are all like little dots. In the terms of John 1, we're little dots of light in a dark world. And if you join the dots, what picture do you think emerges?
Jesus. God.
God, yeah, Jesus.
Where is it, Jesus?
Jesus was more than a baby.
God.
Little theologians, yeah? Great stuff. Okay, Jesus was more than a baby. He is everything. So let's celebrate not only his birth, but his life, death, and resurrection, his ascension, and his presence here today. Let's celebrate the gift of eternal life, the greatest gift we can imagine. It has infinite value, but it costs us nothing. It's free for all who believe. And it's also free for all those who do not yet believe. Let's pray that God opens hearts and minds this Christmas, and that he uses us to help people along the way.